From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia. Today, on Thursday, March the 26th, 2020, we bring you more information about Indonesia with me, Stefan Swau. Well, then, listener, stay tuned because we will begin with the news. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Transportation Minister recovering, according to official. Number of Indonesian COVID-19 patients in Singapore reaches 25. And here is the news in detail, read by Stefan as well. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, who had tested positive for COVID-19, is recovering at Gatot Subroto Army Hospital, Jakarta, where he has been undergoing treatment since March the 14th, according to the government official. The transportation minister's condition has been getting better, said special staffer for agency and media affairs at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Jody Mahadi, during a telepress conference on Wednesday in Jakarta. Mahadi said he believed the hospital authorities had even taken the 63-year-old minister off the ventilator. The minister was the 76th COVID-19 patient in Indonesia. He appealed to the people to pray for Minister Budi Karya Sumadi makes a full recovery so he can get back to work. The government had confirmed on the March 14th that Sumadi had tested positive for COVID-19. A cabinet minister, he had been in the front line of the government's effort to contain the spread of the deadly virus, according to Minister State Secretary Pratikno. The number of Indonesian testing positive for the coronavirus disease or COVID-19 in Singapore rose to 25 as of Tuesday, with one patient recovering and another dying in the infection. Two of the remaining 23 Indonesian COVID-19 patients are receiving intensive medical care, while the condition of the others is stable. The Singapore Health Ministry announced one Indonesian, identified as the country's 545th case, tested positive for COVID-19 on Tuesday, the Indonesian Embassy in Singapore said in a press statement released on Wednesday. The latest Indonesian to be diagnosed with COVID-19 is a 75-year-old woman holding a long-term pass. The woman, who had a travel history to ASEAN member countries, is related to the 403rd case treated at the National Center for Infectious Diseases, or NCID. The other Indonesian COVID-19 patients are being treated at Mount Elizabeth Novena Hospital, Singapore General Hospital, Gleneagles Hospital, and Farrer Park Hospital. Iran's government has banned internal travel and warned of a second wave of its coronavirus disease outbreak as the official death toll passed 2,000. Spokesman Ali Rabiei lamented that some people had ignored advice and traveled during their Nowruz New Year holidays. As a result, he said that people would no longer be able to leave their cities and would soon face other restrictions. Iran's leaders have so far resisted imposing lockdowns, despite it being one of the world's worst-hit countries. They have insisted that all necessary measures to stop the spread of COVID-19 have been taken, despite many Iranians expressing concern. Now back to Indonesia. Though the government has yet to decide whether to ban this year's Eid al-Fitri, Mudik or Exodus or Homecoming, many Jakarta workers have reportedly returned to their hometowns across Java despite warnings against traveling and public gatherings. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on March the 26th, some consider it an opportunity to go to hometown earlier as business has slowed down or their offices have closed due to the COVID-19 outbreak, even though Eid al-Fitri is not expected to fall until late May. Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo said he had obtained reports from regions and mayors saying the initial homecoming flow from Jakarta had recently entered the province. Ganjar explained in Jepara, 44 buses arrived from Jakarta carrying homecomers. It indeed happened early, maybe because the offices and companies where they work had reduced their working hours or even stopped operating. While homecomers' health has yet to be confirmed, Ganjar hoped they didn't cause any problems for the local residents, including students who had been advised to stay at home. Still about the coronavirus, more than 3 billion people around the world were living under lockdown on Wednesday as governments stepped up their efforts against the coronavirus pandemic, which has left more than 20,000 people dead. As quoted by AFP.com on March the 26th, as the number of confirmed cases worldwide soared past 450,000, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that only a concerted global effort could stop the spread of the virus. In Spain, the number of fatalities surpassed those of China, where the novel coronavirus first emerged 3 months ago, making it the hardest-hit nation after Italy. A total more than 20,800 deaths have now been reported in 182 countries and territories. Stock markets rebounded after US Congress moved closer to passing a $2.2 trillion relief package to prop up a teetering US economy. There is a strong chance that the new coronavirus could return in seasonal cycles, according to a senior US scientist on Wednesday, underscoring the urgent need to find a vaccine and effective treatments. As quoted by AFP.com, Anthony Fauci, who leads research to infectious diseases at National Institutes of Health, told a briefing, the virus was beginning to take root in the southern hemisphere, where winter is on its way. He said, what his side is starting to see now in southern Africa and the southern hemisphere countries is that his side having cases that are appearing as they go into their winter season. And if, in fact, they have a substantial outbreak, it will be inevitable that we need to be prepared that we'll get a cycle around a second time. And here is the last item. Spain's death toll from the coronavirus has surpassed the official figure from China, becoming the second highest in the world. As quoted by BBC.com, the number of deaths rose by 738 in 24 hours, a daily record, into 3,434, higher than the 683 announced in Italy. By comparison, China has officially reported 3,285 deaths, while Italy, the worst affected country, has 6,820. Spain's rate of infection has increased by a fifth and almost 27,000 people are being treated in hospital. Madrid is the country's worst affected region, but Catalonia in the northeast has seen a rapid increase in cases. Spain's Deputy Prime Minister, Carmen Calvo, has tested positive for the virus, the government says. She was admitted to hospital on Sunday with respiratory symptoms. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ramadan and Eid Homecoming versus COVID-19. Well, listener, on April 24th, Muslims in Indonesia will be fasting in the blessed Ramadan. Every nation has their distinctive cultures in welcoming and fasting Ramadan. For Indonesians, there is a worry, especially for the homecoming people, against the massive spread of COVID-19. Then how will the homecoming be if Indonesian government has recommended implementing physical distancing? Former Vice President Yusuf Kalla said if the COVID-19 keeps spreading, homecoming may be prohibited to prevent the spread to various regions. More fully, Jakarta, city with the most homecoming people, has most positive infection cases currently. Similar opinion also came from current Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, and it was agreed by Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi. Previously, a feel not to travel and meet many people had been implemented by the stakeholders. Therefore, National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, keeps doing intensive approach to religious figures and the people to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Meanwhile, Indonesian government is discussing about the Ramadan and homecoming 2020 with the related parties. Transportation Ministry's Special Staff Adita Irawati said that currently her site along with related ministries and institutions is discussing options for this year's homecoming season. The options are letting the homecoming runs as normally, avoiding the homecoming and banning the homecoming. Some regional governments are in effect to prevent their people who return to hometown amid virus spread. Still, anticipated moves such as preparing sterilization chamber and spraying disinfectant to the passengers at the bus terminals had been done by Wonogiri government in Central Java. Besides, sanitary and health campaign against COVID-19 keeps being promoted by village apparatus. Central Java itself is currently having spiked in positive cases, so homecoming ban flanked by the central government will be positively welcomed by regional governments to suppress COVID-19 spread. Shortly ahead of Ramadan, Muslims in Indonesia and the world with the spread of COVID-19 can be overcome. If it keeps spreading, people of Indonesia should refrain from going massive homecoming to prevent the massive spread of COVID-19. Let us be aware too and listen to the government's appeal for the safety of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Well, Today in History begins with March 26, 1971, Bangladesh breaks away from Pakistan. Following large-scale political upheaval, East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, broke away from Pakistan on March 26, 1971, and declared its independence. Previously, in 1947, Pakistan broke away from India, but the discriminatory policies carried out by the central government in Islamabad against the Bangla tribe, which constitute 98% of the population in East Pakistan, gave birth to general dissatisfaction. I'll switch to March 26, 1979, Egypt and Israel signed peace agreement. On March 26, 1979, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin signed a peace agreement in Washington, D.C., United States of America, following the 1978 Camp David agreement. This agreement invited controversy. Arab countries, especially the Palestinian people, condemned it and considered this agreement as a betrayal. On the other hand, this agreement made Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israel Prime Minister Menachem Begin get the Nobel Peace Prize. However, Anwar Sadat became unpopular in Arab countries and his own country. Its unpopularity continued to grow, leading to the murder of Anwar Sadat on October 6, 1981. We conclude today's history with the events on March 26, 1989, the Soviet Union first and last democratic elections. March 26, 1989, the Soviet Union held general election. This is the first time for the Soviet people to give their voting rights openly. Previously, under the communist regime, elections were only carried out by certain people. Around 120 million Soviet citizens flocked to vote for candidates outside the incumbent candidates who came from the Soviet Communist Party. 1,500 seats were then filled with the new faces. After the election, the government proceeded
with the leadership of Mikhail Gorbachev and Boris Yeltsin as their parliamentary leaders. 2 years later, Gorbachev resigned and the Soviet Union broke up and changed its name to Russian Federation Republic. The result of this latest election led Boris Yeltsin to be elected as the president of Russia after the end of the Soviet Union. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Bagaikan debu.
Thank you very much. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Well, the listener, here's more information about Indonesia in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Pandemic COVID-19 Increasingly Shows That Clean Water is Crucial. Related to the commemoration of World Water Day on March 22 and outbreaks of COVID-19 requires everyone to wash their hands frequently by using soap. ASEAN Center for Biodiversity Executive Director Dr. Teresa Mundita Eslim, in her official statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, said that water supports the survival of all life on Earth's planet. Especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, washing hands and maintaining cleanliness with clean water proved to be the best defense against diseases. However, based on data from the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, and the World Health Organization, WHO, access to clean water remains a global problem, with 2.2 billion people have limited access to safe drinking water, while the other 3 billion do not have basic hand washing facilities. Teresa Mundita added, on this year's commemoration of World Water Day, the ASEAN Center for Biodiversity joined the international community celebrating the World Water Day commemoration by focusing on the issue that water can help mitigate the effects of climate change. This theme was taken to emphasize inseparable relationship between biodiversity and water. Inland waters such as lakes, rivers, reservoirs, groundwater, springs and wetlands supply water for agricultural irrigation areas in the ASEAN region. The agriculture sector consumes 85.5% of the total water consumed in the region, followed by the industrial sector by 7.8% and 6.6% of the domestic sector, based on data from the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP. According to Teresa Mundita, in the current climate crisis, it is very important to preserve inland waters, which are known to absorb and release fixed carbon in the biosphere and protect people from extreme weather. Moreover, inland waters can contribute to ecosystem-based approaches to climate change adaptation. She also said that biodiversity preservation is done for the benefit of all people. According to Teresa Mundita, a holistic, multidisciplinary, and multi-sectoral approaches are the key to strengthen existing laws and policies to regulate the management and use of biodiversity in a sustainable manner. On the commemoration of World Water Day on March 22, WHO warned that health facilities were in dire need of clean water and hygienic sanitation to limit the spread of COVID-19 and prevent the spread of any kinds of disease outbreaks in the future. Listener, that was today's My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Saat mengerti jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku. Teteskan lara, merajut asa, menjalin mimpi, sepi-sepi.
Thank you very much for you who are still listening us, Voice of Indonesia, and those who are still staying at home to avoid the spread of the coronavirus. Well, to entertain you, here is the information about Indonesian culture or Indonesian tourism. The next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Raja Prailio Village in East Nusa Tenggara. Raja Prailio is a beautiful village and known with its typical construction of houses, unique tradition and fabric handicraft, which is located in Waingapu, East Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara Province. The uniqueness of traditional village is marked by the existence of traditional houses called umambatang or umahori in local language. The existence of high houses still related to the belief of the local people. The traditional houses have high structure with roof made of leaves. These houses consist of three parts, namely, underground symbolizes the house for dead people, middle part as house for live people, and the roof as house of the gods. There is a unique habit for outsiders when they enter the Raja Pralayu tourism village. The visitor will be offered to eat siri or betel, but for those who do not like, they do not have to eat it. You must refuse it politely to respect the habit of the local people. At the Pralayu village, you also can see the making process of woven cloth of East Sumba, which is conducted by women. All making process begins from spinning until giving color, which are conducted by hands and traditional tools. Its color is dominated by red, blue, dark purple by using fabric dye. In addition, there is also megalithic tombs called reti and statues of the ancient time which still well maintained. The tombs are decorated by carvings formed like human, crocodile, turtle, monkey, and shrimp. In the village, you can also find a very big stone grave. Heading to Raja Pralayu village from Kupang, you can go by plane to Waingapu Airport or to use land transportation by riding Transnusa, which takes approximately 4 hours. From Waingapu, you can go by car to Pralayu village. If you have a plan to stay at night at surrounding the village, you can stay at a hotel in Waingapu. That was Indonesian Wonder with a topic about Raja Pralayu village in East Nusa Tenggara province. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye. Oh.
Well then, listener, you are still with us, English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next, we'll bring you interesting information about Indonesia in the miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on fresh food application is chosen as the best in the world. Application with was made by lecturer of Region and City Planning Technique Faculty, Brawijaya University, Dr. Engineer Fadli Husman, STMT, was chosen to be one of the 100 best startups in the world, which was participated in by 170,000 participants from 166 countries. Entering to be 1% top applicant, he has rights to participate in Startup Istanbul full program on April 14 until 16, 2020. The application, which is carried out by Dr. Engineer Fadli, is called Fresh Food. The application helps farmers be able to sell their agricultural products directly to consumers. The Fresh Food application empowers local farmers and cooperates with farmers groups. Today, the application cooperates with dozens of farmers groups in Batu, East Java Province. There are four features which are provided in the application. They are fresh food, buying agriculture products, namely fruits and vegetables, directly from farmers with the best price. Secondly, it's smart farming, helping farmers to make their smart farming. The third one is that the application delivers related information how to plan well. Even trendword farming is conveyed in e-learning of agriculture. The fourth one is e-shopping. Farmers and users of the application can buy agricultural tools through the application, such as buying seeds, mini tractors, water tanks, sensors, CCTV cameras, and many others. Dr. Fadli explains that the application is like a marketplace. The difference is that the application still controls and accompanies farmers in production and selling, and it is not free as those at the market. For smart farming, he said, will facilitate their farming with sensor, CCTV, and many more tools, such as water tanks to spread and etc. Farmers can see and control their agricultural land through the application. He hopes that the application can be applied by many people. This month, March 2020, his team will plant 20 hectares of garlic and 2 hectares of it will use smart farming technology. That was our segment for today, Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
seanggun mawa yang sedang mekar bagaikan terjebak hatiku meledak yang tak pernah terjadi kini ku alami sejak kehadirannya burung-burung bernyanyi alam berwarna-warni mentari di ujung rambutnya. Inikah
tanda-tanda bunga asmara ingin bersemi sekali lagi? Tanda-tanda bunga asmara ingin bersemi di dalam hati ini sekali lagi. Bagaikan terjebak hatiku pun meledak yang tak pernah terjadi kini ku alami sejak kehadirannya burung-burung bernyanyi alam berwarna-warni mentari di ujung rambutnya. Inikah
tanda-tanda sekali lagi tanda-tandanya bunga asmara ingin berseri di dalam hati ini sekali lagi. Tanda-tandanya bunga asmara ingin berseri sekali lagi.
Besides informations, we also have presented you a lot of songs, but we still get much more for you. So stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a song titled Preman by Ikang Fauzi. Aside from being a singer, Ikang Fauzi is also known as a film actor in Indonesia. Both as a singer and actor, Ikang Fauzi achieved the success in the 1980s. Many hit songs are created from the albums he released. One of them is the song Preman. This song included in the album Preman, which was released in 1987. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Preman by Ikang Fauzi. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. kapulitan. Pakiskipapa, preman, preman. Oh, 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 pakiskipapa, metropolitan. Dari lorong, lorong yang sempit, dalam kehidupan malam selalu siaga. Setiap saat selalu sigap, terjang bahaya, siapapun dihadapinya. Sini preman, sana preman, sedang beraksi, wajah dingin dan seram, siap menerkam. Jangan kau coba kawan, cari perkara, sejurus perang di petan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Merah surya bertanda senja.
lagi fajar pun menghilang. Malam datang bersama sepi. Perasaan hampa, angin malam meniup lembut rambutku. Saat ini ku mengenangmu, mengharap kau ada duduk di sini. Dewiku, dengarkanlah ini tentang kita masa depanku. Hidup damai yang ku dambakan. Malam gelap segelap hidup kini, harapan tak
time for us to say not goodbye, but well, just ending the English service, because we still have much more for you in the other language services from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. But for you who have been listening for us to since almost an hour ago, please send your criticism, suggestion, broadcast report. You can send it to our email voi@voanews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefan as well, and all the crews are saying thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.